are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Thanks for joining us again for...
Made it to the second episode.
Yeah, our second... all the way to the second episode. The lights are still on.
We're turning these things out.
That's right, yeah. We'll do a quick recap of where we left off. We were talking, obviously, about Star Wars and our favorite characters. But before that, we talked about how sort of the idea for the podcast. And maybe, James, you can take a shot at sort of articulating it
your
I'll way.
Try.
So they're not just hearing me talk
about my own. I think you worded it best, but kind of how I was thinking about it is there's no real distinction between sacred and secular, or I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but you know, the forces and everything. So it's the spiritual and the physical are not, there's not this huge valley between them. So why act like there is? So we can talk about pop culture, movies, books, whatever, and see spiritual truths in them that maybe are stumbled upon, but hint at the bigger, big truths that we hold dear.
I think
and
that's
know.
Brilliant.
So.
I think I probably you probably said it in fewer words than I did, and a lot better than I did. And the term that I use that I'll probably keep coming back to, and y'all will get tired of hearing. But until I think this will change the way you see a lot of things if you'll allow it to. Theology is reality. And
yeah.
So God, who created all things and is truth, you know, like Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you have anything that has elements of truths in them, those, by the nature of them being truth, have to originate from God. And so,
same thing with anything good, right?
Would yeah, kind of all good thing come from
yeah,
from God.
Yeah, okay.
And that's so beauty, art, film, music. These are all creations of God inside creation that people use to tell stories, and there is no such thing as a good story that doesn't have elements of truth to it and elements
yeah.
of beauty to it. And I would add are redemption stories. And
all the best ones are.
They are, and here's why. And here's why theology is reality, and we can recognize what a good story is and how a good story is being told, because we are in a story. We are living in a story that God has written and is writing, and the template that God has written his story in is the same template that people use to tell stories now, and that is this.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. And so very quickly, creation, fall, and redemption, and restoration. That is the ultimate, very, very brief. And I apologize to you theologians out there who are going to send us angry emails. That is a very brief description of the what's called the meta-narrative, the big story, which is all that means, of our cosmos, of our universe. God created all things. Man fell into sin, rebelled against him. He entered into history by sending his unique son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and conquered death like a Jedi can if he knows the Force. And he will come back to make all things new. And so you have what every good story that you see in a film or read in a book has, which is the opening setting where there is some form of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
You have some event that enters into the equation that causes loss, and then you have some redemptive, you have a hero that has some redemptive value, and then the happy ending, the story is resolved, a restoration. And so when you see these elements in stories that you read or that you hear in a song or see in a film, yeah. the reason that they speak to you is because you live in that story
yeah.
in a greater reality. So that's what's beautiful about being God geeks, is that we can watch Star Wars
yep.
or listen to Social Distortion or do all the things that we're free in Christ to do.
Yeah.
Play Minecraft or whatever, or play baseball, whatever it is that you geek out about, that is your thing, that God has gifted to you, that you see beauty in, you're free to do those things and talk about them passionately, because if there's anything good and beautiful about them, they come from God. So that being said, what did we leave off on the last episode?
We were talking about favorite characters, and you were talking about Chewbacca,
and you kind of copped out and said you didn't have one.
I'd say, you know, R2-D2, Chewbacca, they're yeah. kind of yeah. tying it for me.
So
my,
tell me why R2-D2 for you.
I love R2-D2, so much personality for a little trash can, you know. He's got heart, charisma, you can tell all his emotions with just beeps and boops and
yeah.
flashing lights. I just think yeah. that is so genius, and it always appealed to me.
It really is. It's.
It might be my kind of, you know, Asperger's side of me, I think, as my wife would call it, where emotions aren't always the easiest thing for geeky guys, right? But
right.
to have a little bucket express emotion through binary beeps always appealed to me as a kid.
That people can understand.
That people can understand.
That's what I love.
It gave me hope that people might get me if a little robot can be understood. Which, you know, BB-8, a great new take on that, with even more emotion in a lot of ways.
I love him. I love him. You know, and I didn't know what to think about there's all these new characters, and they're you're kind of watching the previews obviously,
throwing too much at us.
Said, here's what I want to hear. And we'll come back to BB-8 because he's phenomenal. I love him. We'll come back to...
Or her. We're not quite sure.
It. Yeah. we'll come back to Chewbacca because we left off that. He's got a major role in this new film.
Yeah.
But here's what's... Here's, you know...
You're getting
I totally lost my train of thought with the whole BB-8 thing. When you saw the previews for The Force Awakens as they were coming out, you have to tell me what the moment was where you were like, this is going to be off the hook.
Oh gosh. You know, when of course, when Han and Chewie step on the Millennium Falcon, we're home.
It's the moment.
Great moment.
I saw that.
It still resonated when I saw it in the theater too.
Oh,
I'd seen it a million times on the trailer, but
reveal
of the Millennium Falcon as a character.
Oh, and that
was genius.
You know, and I think,
it's not just a ship anymore.
No, and the way that they introduced it.
Garbage.
As that, you know, they're running away from all this danger, and they've got to find a
ship
to escape.
Nope, not that one.
And they go for the good ship, and that blows up right in front of them. And they go, the garbage will work out. And then you see the garbage that she was talking about, and it's the Falcon.
Yeah.
And it's like this.
But aren't all the characters kind of their own Falcons in a way? Finn is no hero.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
No, he's not.
He's a Millennium Falcon.
And I have
he's,
a theory.
He's kind of the
I
throw-off.
Have a theory about
that. Okay, okay. I might have heard this one.
Well, I don't know. I don't have anything to base this on.
Okay.
I'll actually even feel bad for saying this because he's the only African American.
I know what
character.
You're gonna say. Yeah.
I think his last name is Calrissian.
Okay.
I think he's Lando's kid.
You know, and who's Billy Dee Williams? Is that who plays?
Yes.
Here's why he wants to be in the movie.
Here's why I think it is. And I don't know the character's name, and all the geeks will get mad at me for not having the name.
Maz.
Okay, Maz.
She's seen his eyes before.
She's seen his eyes before, and he's a guy that wants to run.
That's Lando,
if that doesn't
too.
Describe
yeah.
Lando as a guy that's kind of a...
Reluctant hero.
Kind of a weasel, like Han Solo is. Kind of a can be kind
totally.
Of a weasel, but he... He wrote, like you said,
and I'd totally be okay with that lineage. I'd
well, let's talk about this for a second, and we'll come back to BB-8 and Chewbacca, because this makes me
circle around to Rey too. That might be a whole other episode.
That'll be. We're gonna save that for part three.
Okay. Because
I have a theory on Rey
that I
think is gonna explode your melon. So, the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Are now these First Order stormtroopers are not clones.
No, they're height differences. You can tell
they are. Yeah, right away you
right
see
away
it,
they
and,
set
you,
that up.
And obviously the first stormtrooper who takes off of his helmet, and I think there was actually some controversy about this on the internet, there is about everything on the internet, about him being an African American character, and stormtrooper can't be an African American character. My immediate response to that was, wait a minute.
There's no Africa in space.
Han and Luke had stormtrooper outfits on. How can you tell me that you see the preview and you see a hero with a stormtrooper outfit on and he can't be like a stormtrooper?
Right.
But here's what it turns out. He is a stormtrooper. And the stormtroopers are no longer clones.
No.
I guess they are orphans.
Stolen children or orphans.
So
brainwashed. I'm thinking there was a scene taken out with the reprogramming with Captain Phasma, which would have given more context.
So while we're talking about the previews, you said there are scenes in the previews, and this is how much your level of geekiness. You're gonna out geek me on this for sure.
Okay.
You said that there are scenes in the previews that are not in didn't make it into the movie, which obviously indicates that they had the previews made before they had the film.
Well, I guess that's how it works now. Yeah.
And so tell me about what...
Okay, so the first one, the reveal of Kylo Ren with that lightsaber, the lightsaber with the hilt.
Yes.
That wasn't in there. You hear it off screen. You don't see it.
Okay.
So that wasn't in there. So there's little things like that. But the big one that I noticed
that wasn't in the preview?
That was
his lightsaber.
His lightsaber's in the preview.
Okay.
Where they reveal it and he throws it out and it just lights up.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the movie. That big reveal, the lightsaber was revealed earlier when he's, lashing at things
with it
and whatnot.
I see, okay.
So you, on the Starkiller,
That actual scene
not in
is
there.
Not in
you
there.
You hear him light up his lightsaber on the frozen planet.
I think you're right, because he has a hood on and everything in the preview, and he doesn't have that.
So maybe it was test footage or something. But
right.
I mean, I think it was a great reveal for the trailer.
Yeah.
The other one that doesn't make sense now in context of the movie is Maz, the little alien with the big eyes who's 1,000 years old.
Yes.
In the trailer, you see her at the Resistance base handing Anakin's lightsaber over to Leia, which that never happened.
Right. Is it maybe a trick of editing that they showed her handing the light? In actuality, she handed the lightsaber to Finn.
Right.
They
so it could have been a red
they
herring.
Edited it, tried to make it look like.
I would not be surprised because,
they're misleading
big
you.
Geek I am. I looked at every frame of everything, got on Reddit, saw
Abrams.
What everyone else is saying.
J.J. Abrams.
He likes his surprises.
Very, very, very good job on this film.
Yeah.
I think did most every Star Wars fan proud that a Star Wars geek like him was passed the mantle and he did the job that he did and all the people,
and it's shown so much respect to George Lucas.
I think so. It's and so let's do quick BB-8 and Chewbacca, because we promised that we would do that, and then we'll get to maybe the layout of the film.
Okay
BB-8 to me, I would say I was skeptical. I was a little worried.
Like, he's just an excuse
to
sell toys.
Yeah, like, here's the new remote. I mean, they have the remote control guy comes out beforehand. I tell you what, he won me over. I love him.
Great practical effects,
too. Oh, I love that little guy. And I would say this. I'm not sure I really loved him after the first viewing. I love him now.
Like, okay, it took a second
viewing. Yeah, my second viewing was like, I think, to me, I mean, I don't really even know if I saw it the first time I saw it. I was so in a zone of trying to see it.
Yeah.
trying to take it all
I
in.
Was tired, too, opening night.
Oh, I bet.
3 hours in line.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Best 3 hours. But
yeah.
Oh, man.
Meeting people in line meeting was
people,
cool.
Running into people from college. It was great.
Oh,
it was
a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm sure. But I think...
But I didn't soak it all in until now, I think.
Well, the main events of the movie is what you saw.
Yeah, that's all I saw.
And then, and I think the second viewing, like today, and I can't wait to see it again, you know, and so I can catch up with you, if I ever can. Maybe you'll just perpetually see it more than me.
Yeah.
You'll always be past me.
You'll always be older than me, though.
I'm not sure I like that. I'm not sure I like that. So BB-8 won me over, and he plays a major role in the film, as does R2-D2.
Yeah,
and
which we need to talk about later.
We can talk about that in the layout of the film, because I think it fits in nicely. And so Chewbacca, my favorite guy of all time. He's a hero big time in this flick.
And it looks like he's going to be in the next couple, probably.
And, you know...
I'm excited about that.
I think here's what would play out nicely for me. Obviously, Rey and Finn are the two new heroes.
Yeah. Poe working in there. I can see more of him.
Poe.
I like him.
Poe, yeah. Obviously, he's like the cool
Han Lando kind of thing.
Older pilot thing.
Yeah.
But I could really see Chewbacca. It would be cool if Finn is kind of is Lando's descendant, or some sort of descendant of Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Is that he eventually kind of becomes the Chewie sidekick, like Lando kind of did.
Yeah.
You know, and like Chewie was really pissed at Lando at first, but you could tell they were old friends and they were okay after that, especially when Lando kind of came back into the picture as a hero.
Yes.
And I think, like you said brilliantly, Finn is not a hero. He's a reluctant hero. And I think that would fit nicely. Yeah. And I think, obviously, Rey, which we'll get to in its own episode,
amazingly cast.
Very well done. So I think I was really happy as a big time Chewbacca fan. Chewbacca,
he really got his day. Even his bowcaster, even, was that ever fired in the original trilogy?
A phenomenal question. I think it had to be,
maybe, but it was its own. I mean, so much it was showed off in this one.
Yeah, and there was some
knocking
good
people over.
Yeah, and there was some good interplay between
with Han.
By the way, and so let's just touch on this. Harrison Ford, brilliant.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the way they wrote for his character and the way that he did it, especially the scene where Finn says, "We'll use the Force," and he's like, "That's not how the Force
works."
That was so, to me, that was so Return of the Jedi. That was so, like, that was just so Han Solo. Very well done. Harrison Ford, obviously, a phenomenal actor in his own right, beyond the Star Wars films. But he will always be Han Solo and Indiana Jones to me.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a whole nother 5 episodes, at least, Indiana Jones, if we get to that. We
won't open that can of worms.
Yeah, not today. Although, I a guy in front of me in line, at waiting for Force Awakens, had the best t-shirt on. It was Indiana Jones exploring through a temple and unearthing Han Solo and carbonite. Best t-shirt.
That is brilliant.
I loved it.
That is brilliant. Worlds colliding. So, let's talk. Let's touch, and I think we'll come back to this.
Okay.
But this is what I would say. What we talked about at the beginning of the episode, the story arc, of our meta narrative that God, you know, that our reality that we live in, that God has created and continues to write, is a redemption, a restoration story, and we wait for that restoration. We wait for the King of Kings to return and make all things new. Here's what's brilliant to me about what they did is they did not try to reinvent the wheel. There's an obvious
well, it's not like Star Wars, the original, was that original when it came to those things.
Correct. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
I mean, it draws from Greek mythology, Norse mythology, Japanese films, Kurosawa kind of thing, Seven Samurai, etc. But they're things that just repeat over and over and over again. So on the surface, I could see how some people are getting upset over, oh, it's just another Death Star.
It's that way on purpose.
Yeah, it's that way on purpose, though. Yeah. I mean, these things mirror, they reflect, they rhyme. You know, there's a real cool video on YouTube right now showing the rhyming between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, which made me love the prequels even more once I saw that.
I think so, too. Well, and George Lucas has talked about how there was a poetic element to the movies, and that he intentionally, when he went back with the prequels, if you could make sort of what would be like a sort of an outline of the first ones, you could lay that outline over the prequel movies and see the similarities, obvious similarities in the storyline. And so really, that's something I did not consider until I saw the movie, and I went, of course.
Yeah.
They had no choice but to come back and it's
in a way, it's a, I hate this, reboots or whatever they call them, but in a way it's a good starting point for the new generation of viewers.
Yeah.
They can start with this film.
Yeah.
And get the major thematic elements of Star Wars.
It's brilliant in that way, but I think it's also brilliant in that it's like this, you know, you're safe with us.
Yeah.
Like we're going to be safe. We're like
home.
You're home. Yeah, it's the Chewie, we're home thing.
And now they can go into directions that maybe we wouldn't have trusted them to go in before.
Yeah, because we trust them now.
Yeah.
We trust
all right,
the new.
We're back.
We trust that
this will start to make things
and
right.
Maybe and I hate to even think about this, but maybe the rest of the Star Wars movies are terrible, but this one is,
you know, I'll still pay money and go.
I will too. There's this one is in the mix, man.
Yeah.
This one is in the mix, and it needs to be. It deserves to be compared with the others,
right?
And I think they did that on purpose in with the storyline, with the elements of you got
BB-8.
Yeah, the BB-8. Yeah. He's got to. You know, BB-8's whole story echoes back to "Help Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi."
Yep.
You're our only
even
hope.
That first scene with Poe kneeling and putting the map.
Yeah.
So totally.
You know, as far as the story goes, I think you know it's brilliantly done the way that they decided to echo the old movies. I would now anticipate, because I think if you look at Empire, you have a similarity in Attack of the Clones, of sort of, you know, obviously you have Revenge of the Sith, and the original title
Revenge of the Jedi
was going to be Revenge of the Jedi until they realized this is un-Jedi, like to have revenge, so we better make it Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And if you can get your hands on some of the swag that they had for the original Revenge of the Jedi. There's actually like jackets and posters and stuff that are out there
that are
worth a lot of money now because they're limited edition. They, you know, they didn't make them. They quit making them after they changed the name of the movie. But I just think, you know, obviously there's echoing there in so many different ways, like the Star Killer,
it makes sense in other ways too, because Kylo Ren, what is he trying to do? He's trying to be a clone of Darth Vader.
Yeah, he's trying to redo it. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under
the
sun.
There's the Ecclesiastes, Solomon passage.
Which I think it underlies that theme then.
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun. Things are cyclical in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a meta-narrative, but
now,
repeat a lot in
there is some interesting stuff, which will be great teasers for our next episode.
Okay.
And I did not realize, I guess I did not, let's tease a little bit about Rey.
Yeah.
And what they did with the lightsaber.
Oh, I loved that none of the promotional material had her holding the lightsaber.
Yes. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Isn't that brilliant? A brilliant
set
move.
Set you up for Finn being the Force sensitive.
You thought, he's the new hero, and they did a great job of misleading us there. They did what they did with the lightsaber, and there's something about this kid. There's something about this Rey that is not normal.
Nope.
And
Kylo Ren notices.
Kylo Ren knows it, and I think now our... Oh,
Snoke.
You know, And who is that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of mystery about him.
I'm not so sure about him being that big. We'll see.
He's not. I think that's the hologram, right? Yeah, yeah, but yeah. But when I first saw him, I went, now, what is this? Oh,
is that Gollum?
You hear the music you're like, is that Gollum? That's exactly what I thought.
Andy Serkis is the actor who did the motion cap.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
saying that, because I was like, this guy sounds like Gollum.
Cross between Gollum and Lord Voldemort.
Sounds like Gollum. Bring her to me. And it's like, is that Gollum? Well, that's brilliant. So I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
And for all of us geeks, that's a perfect tie-in to Peter Jackson and the brilliance in my opinion, the Lord of the Rings movies. I even love the Hobbit movies. A lot of people tried to go prequel on the Hobbit movies. They went prequel on George Lucas for Star Wars, and I think that's absurd. I think the Hobbit movies are great too. They're not obviously as good as the Lord of the Rings, but Gandalf is in them, so
Legolas managed to get in there somehow too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Another episode.
Yeah. So this Rey, there's something special about her, and she is obviously the new hero. She is what would be considered the Anakin, if you will, of the first of the prequels, the Luke Skywalker of the original films, and this is Rey, the new holder of the lightsaber that we just don't know who she is or where she came from.
Lots of hints that she's a Skywalker, but I don't know.
I'm gonna get. That's a great teaser for
our next episode
will be The Force Part 3.
Rey, who is she?
Who is she? Yeah, and we'll get into other stuff too.
Maybe some Ben Solo too.
Ben Solo too.
Yeah, I think you have to talk about both.
You do. Yeah. You do. I can't wait to hear your theory. So we'll pick that up next time. Sounds good. The God Geeks podcast. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.